a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and DeGenevieve, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Utahns on their way to Florida. As we continue to watch the developments of Hurricane Ian, what are you seeing, Dave?
It's a river. Fort Myers, the roads are rivers.
Oh, my goodness.
It is incredible.
Look at the cars. They're underwater, Dave.
The cars are totally underwater, and Debbie, this road is got to be 60 to 100 feet wide, and it's got 5 or 6 feet, and it's just pouring down this road.
Could you compare that road width to maybe 300 West right outside our studio here?
Yeah, probably even larger.
Wow. Yeah,
it's absolutely massive.
155-mile-an-hour winds. The governor, moments ago, Governor Ron DeSantis, saying that he's called up 5,000 National Guard troops, 2,000 additional Guard troops from other states, some 1,600, high-water vehicles on standby. Look at that water, Dave, going in Tampa. Is that Tampa or Fort Myers? That is Fort Myers, and there is a boat. It is not manned by anybody.
Let's go live to this. MSNBC
is floating down that
reporting
river.
Live from this.
We are now in a situation where nobody's moving. Nobody's doing anything. There are urban search and rescue teams. As I drove in here, one thing you'll know, Chris, as you drive to a hurricane, you always see these convoys on the highway of these cherry pickers, of these lineman trucks, ready in place to deal with trees and electrical lines. But everything is shut down for now. No, there's nobody out there. And one of the problems they're going to have in Naples and points north of here is when this all settles down and the water starts to recede, which might be sometime late tonight, there are going to be cars in the middle of the street. So emergency vehicles are not going to be able to get through in some cases. They're going to have to get tow trucks in here first to get rid of some of these
cars. Those cars may just flat out float away. We just saw a boat. It looked like it came out from underneath a parking structure. It was a smaller boat, but it was unmanned, and the water just swept it away.
I can't stop watching this. Debbie, this video is unbelievable, and the reporter is literally right there on the street. He's on the third floor of this condominium, and we just see these incredible pictures as the ocean is essentially just flooding Fort Myers.
The water right now, I'm looking at it, it is a river. It reminds me of Big Cottonwood Canyon, the creek during the spring runoff. It is flowing like crazy. Benjamin Donner, executive director of American Red Cross of Central and Southern Utah. It sounds like the American Red Cross has dispatched Utahns to Florida.
Good morning. Yes, we absolutely have.
How many?
So at the moment, we have 9 of our volunteers on the ground there in Florida. They are part of the 500 that we have sent across the world here ahead of the storm hitting Florida.
How does this work? Do you send them to the edges and then within hours of a drive, they wait till the storm passes? How does it work logistically?
Well, at the moment, that's an excellent question. We're expecting more than 60,000 individuals to evacuate from where they live last night alone. And remember, the hurricane hadn't hit yet. Last night alone, we had 13,000 people in shelters that the American Red Cross and partner evacuation shelters across Florida. And so that is where these teams are. I wish I could share a picture that I received here this morning. It was an overlay of a map and radar of the hurricane approaching, and I saw icons all up the coast that were Red Cross icons showing where these evacuation centers are. And I'm watching the same thing you are on screen here this morning.
It's crazy.
So emotional.
It is. It's
intense.
Let me ask you this. Benjamin Donner, by the way, he's the executive director of the American Red Cross of Central and Southern Utah, on the line live with you, with us. I am just absolutely mesmerized by this same video, and I'm watching reporters. I mean, I don't even know how they're not getting blown off their feet and blown away. It's just insane as it starts to hit land, Benjamin. How do you keep your folks safe in the middle of all of this?
So that excellent question. I've been texting back and forth here this morning with a couple of them, just an incredible couple here from Orem. They obviously stay indoors. They're not out as some of these incredible reporters are. They stay safe. They are in areas designed to be a shelter and a safe place for the individuals to be able to evacuate their homes. So they are not there in the area where we're seeing these storm surges of 12 to 15 feet, where you see the vehicles underwater. We do not put our individuals in harm's way by any means. So they are in these shelters that are designed to be safety areas for those Floridians that are trying to escape.
Benjamin Donner, Executive Director of the American Red Cross, thank you for joining us. And Debbie, we are watching right now on CNN as reporters are nearly being blown over.
All right, Bill Weir in Punta Gorda, Florida. You can just get a sense of the power of this storm right now. Bill, witnessing the wind, witnessing the strength of it, and it's really just the front edge now of Ian as it begins to make landfall. Wind gusts measuring upwards of 100 miles an hour or more, and it could get worse than that, 150 miles an hour. To Bill and his team, please stay safe. Joining me now is Nick Bisciotta, who's the vice mayor of Venice.
And Debbie, as we were watching video of this, this reporter could barely keep his feet.
Upper right-hand corner of the top monitor in studio here, Dave, look at those palm trees. I mean, it's just a broomstick that's bent over, and these palm trees they've become almost like flag-like. I'm shocked that they're able to sustain this wind at this point. For hours now, we have been watching a bridge in Tampa Bay over the waters. And I asked you moments ago in the break, I said, will that bridge survive? And you said, there's no way. It'll be underwater. I can't even believe it is withstanding the pounding, the constant pounding of the ocean waters. And we also saw earlier today the bay. In the Tampa Bay area, the water getting sucked out into the ocean. The bay was, it was wet because it's wet, but it looked like there was no water around.
Yeah, that was an incredible sight, and I didn't realize that happened. It doesn't happen all the time, but similar to a tsunami where the water will actually recede and retract, that's what was happening to the hurricane. The hurricane was draining the water out of the bay, gathering up and using that as fuel, essentially, for the hurricane. And now as the hurricane pushes forward, it's almost squeezing the water like the end of a toothpaste toward the front. And that is where the surge is coming in. They expect, and this is almost incomprehensible, that the surge flooding can be 18 feet high.
Our coverage continues on Hurricane Ian. It is now slamming Florida. Let's take you live to WGUF Radio in Florida.
As we head, let's fast forward again to 7 o'clock. Now we're starting to see the onshore winds a little bit of a different direction, but it's still coming in through Naples and Marco Island. As we head into places like Bonita, it will continue. Cape Coral, we haven't reached that storm surge just yet. So we're seeing the flooding concerns in parts of Cape Coral. And when I mention Cape Coral, also keep in mind, up the Caloosahatchee, that water will continue to move into parts of North Fort Myers and parts of Fort Myers shores on the other side of the river, including also Fort Myers, downtown Fort Myers. McGregor, what I haven't seen yet are any images coming in from the McGregor.
Dave
and Dujanovic.
Start your mornings productively with important updates on breaking news,
traffic, and reliable weather.
You'll get it all on KSL from 5 to 9 with Tim and Amanda.
Utah's morning companions for news.
Dave and Dujanovic.
Going back now live to Florida, where Hurricane Ian is. How close is it, Dave?
10 minutes.
10 minutes from?
Landfall.
From landfall.
But you wouldn't know any difference.
It feels like it's there.
Let's go live to Fox News. Steve Harrigan, a senior correspondent, is reporting just northwest of Fort Myers.
At least it's daylight. You heard the Governor DeSantis really detail an enormous response prepared for this. You have 26 states contributing. You have helicopters. You have high water rescue vehicles. You have urban search teams. From around the country, people are pitching in to help. But that's a few hours away. So for right now, people are on their own. It's daytime. They've just got to stay inside if they're here. About 1,000 people where I am in a shelter. 175 shelters open across the state. And let's just see this thing go by before the help can roll in. Guys, back to you.
Wow, Steve, thank you for your continued reporting.
He about got there. Knocked off his feed. We're watching a live feed from Fox News out of Florida in Fort Myers, where Dave and I have also just witnessed, I mean, the cars were practically floating away. It was just a street, kind of just like we're looking out here, studio 300 West, about that width, that just became a rapidly running river. I watched a boat get plucked right out of a parking garage, didn't have anybody in it, and it just got swept away by the waters. Governor Ron DeSantis, moments ago, delivering more information to not only the people of Florida, but the people across the United States, and telling Floridians that they have 42,000 linemen on standby, assuring that power could possibly be quickly restored, although we don't know how that is going to go depending on the damage, that 27 states have sent linemen to the area.
There's now over 42,000 linemen and other personnel ready to restore power in 30 different areas across the state. And those linemen and other associated personnel hail from, of course, many from Florida, but from 27 different states.
Press Secretary of the White House, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, speaking live right now. Let's take that live.
We should not use this moment as an excuse to raise gas prices. I also want to speak to the sham referenda that Russia has staged in occupied areas in Ukraine.
Okay, clearly as... gotten beyond the discussion about Hurricane Ian, which is somewhat surprising because this is really the only thing the rest of the nation is talking about right now. This hurricane is 155 miles an hour, wind gusts of 190 miles an hour, and many people have chosen not to evacuate, although I was reading statistics that more than 2.5 million people were ordered to evacuate by the governor. Some have decided to hunker down and ride out the storm, Dave.
And it appears that the biggest threat to life right now is that storm surge. Anywhere from 12 to 18 feet of a storm surge, essentially just a massive wall of flooding that is pouring into these coastal cities. And there's no question, Debbie, I'm watching this and as we're seeing it just creep up. And that's what's happening is it starts at 2 or 3 feet, and every 10 minutes or so, it seems it raises another couple of feet.
All morning long, we have been dipping into live coverage from radio station WGUF, which has been covering Hurricane Ian wall to wall. Let's listen back into their coverage.
And that water gets pushed gradually inland. But the longer this storm sits out over the Gulf of Mexico, like it is right now, the majority, I mean, a portion of it's onshore, but the majority of that storm sits over the Gulf of Mexico. The longer that happens, the slower the storm gets, the more of an opportunity those waves have to build, and the higher that storm surge is going to get, and the farther inland all that water is going to get pushed. We are tracking the rain band here on our live Doppler radar here at ABC7 and NBC2. this little area of the outer eye wall, which is not nearly as strong as you head up toward Punta Gorda and Port Charlotte and Northport, but we're still going to see some gusty winds out of this. It's going to be Cross Creek Golf and Country Club right there off of Daniels Parkway at 2:03 this afternoon. The Gulf Coast Town Center at 2:14, North Fort Myers 2:15, Pine Lakes at 2:16. The same for the River District in Fort Myers. We have a couple of cameras down there. Hopefully one of them is still going as this blows through, because we'll get some decent images from there. Into Paseo at 2:19, Old Bridge Village at 2:28, Greens
Edge
Condominiums at
2:28. They are calculating a minute by minute timeline of when this storm will hit where. And again, you just heard them saying they hope their cameras are still working at the point that it's hitting different locations so they can get images back. You've got to imagine that the folks in Florida, if they, and I think 200,000 people out of power right now, they're turning to their radios and listening to WGUF around the clock, Dave.
It's very strange, Debbie, because we're seeing so many different reports. And reporters are stationed throughout the various cities along the West Coast. And some look fairly tame. There are people walking on the beach in shorts, kind of a leisurely stroll. There's other people that are just in the middle of massive flooding. And that is really the thing we're seeing. This storm hit hours and hours earlier than expected.
Yeah, we were expecting, at least when we closed up shop here as a show yesterday afternoon, we were expecting the storm at about 8 o'clock tonight.
Yeah.
And then I woke up this morning, immediately found out that it was ahead of schedule. But Floridians and actually Florida's governor seems very prepared, or at least as prepared as possible.
In 2019, we were projected to be hit by Hurricane Dorian, which was a Category 5 storm. Yeah, fortunately, at the last minute, it took a northward turn and missed the coast. But we did have a really massive mobilization. This mobilization's exceeded that. This is a really, really significant effort, county level, state level, federal support. It's really been impressive to see.
And you heard Governor DeSantis talk about some of those large hurricanes that have hit. Well, let me tell you, Hurricane Katrina ended up, and this hit back in 2005, $186 billion worth of damage. Harvey was $149 billion, $107 billion for Hurricane Maria. To give you an idea, this is every bit the size, and the destruction is just staggering.
Predicting 18 foot storm surges from Hurricane Ian. Maria Chaleos continues our ongoing live coverage.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.